Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Employment Matters, brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers around the globe. I am your host, Alexandra Aguilar Garcia. I am a director at BLP Costa Rica, and it's my pleasure to be with you. In today's program, we have the opportunity to bring Samuel Flores. He is an associate in Santa Marina State in Mexico, specifically in Monterrey, and he's an expert on labor and employment in his country and in the region. And he will give us important updates, and actually he's going to talk about a really, really vital matter for incentives right now. Hello, Samuel, how are you?
Hello, Alexandra. All good, thank you very much for having me, and hello to our listeners as well.
That's great, actually, to have you. I think that the topic that you're going to share with us is really important. So I want to start by asking you the following. We're going to talk about profit sharing. So I would like to know if profit sharing is a recurring subject when looking to invest in Mexico. Can you tell us more about this concept in your country?
Definitely. I think profit sharing is actually one of the most important topics or benefits to consider when looking to invest in Mexico, because it's quite unique and it's something that not a lot of countries around the globe have. So profit sharing, basically, it's a constitutional right for all employees. In Mexico, this has been in the constitution since 1962. And profit sharing, actually, what this implies is that all employees are entitled to participate in the profits generated by their employers throughout the tax year. The Constitution sets a set of rules regarding profit sharing, and it requires a national committee to determine the percentage in which employees will participate. This has varied throughout the years, but most recently, and actually for quite some time since 1985, this percentage has been set at 10%. So basically, it requires for employers to distribute 10% of their pre-tax profit to eligible employees. And as you may imagine, or for someone who is not this familiar with this concept, this is quite a great amount. And it's something that usually to be given it thoughtful consideration. And this topic actually was or gained more discussion or relevance because in 2021, we had a reform regarding subcontracting. And essentially, I don't want to get into that a lot, but it essentially prohibits subcontracting. And the idea behind this was to try to avoid structures or corporate structures in which the employers used to register employees with a service company that was not the company that actually generated the profits. And through this corporate structure, you could reduce or control the amount of profit that you ended up distributing among the employees. So through this reform, by prohibiting subcontracting, it essentially changed the landscape on the average amounts received by the employees. So to try to control the economic impact of this reform, the government decided, in agreement with employer and employee representatives, to set a cap. And they introduced a cap for profit sharing in the federal labor law. And through this reform, or by introducing this cap, it was said that the maximum amount to be shared among the employees would be equal to 3 months' salary or to the average of the profit sharing received during the last 3 years. And the general rule is that you have these two options and you have to apply whichever ends up with a higher amount to be received by the employee.
Samuel, so can you tell us about the reaction? What was the reaction about this?
It was really well received, but there were certain employees and employee organizations that decided to challenge this reform. In particular, there was a very active union from the mining industry that decided to challenge this in representation of its affiliates. And during the last year, during 2023, actually a district court agreed with the union that this cap is not referred or it's not included in the constitution. So they ended up deeming it unconstitutional because they considered, as it was not provided for by the constitution, the secondary regulation or the federal labor law could not apply a limit or cap it if it was not allowed expressly by the constitution. So you can imagine that this generated a lot of controversy and uncertainty on the employers. Well, it could end up basically eliminating the cap. This could have a huge economic impact. So there was a time of great uncertainty.
Great, Samuel. This is very interesting because, as you mentioned, this is something mandatory for the companies in Mexico. And actually, well, in other countries in Latin America, this is normally like an incentive, like an equity incentive. We, for example, in Costa Rica, where I am from, we don't have regulation on this. And this is really, really interesting because normally when we see profit sharing is because there are foreign companies with specific policies and we have to apply that and we have to try to convert these policies into Costa Rican legislation. In your case, in Mexico, this is something mandatory. And this is really interesting. And because of it, I think that it is important to understand about profit sharing that has been a hot topic the last few years in Mexico due to the introduction of the cap. I understand that the Supreme Court recently also issued an important resolution on the matter. What is the backstory of that? What does this mean for businesses in Mexico? And also I wanted to include, you know, the question related to my comment. This is, I understand, different from the equity policies that companies can provide in addition to this profit sharing. So I want you to explain to us a little bit about it.
Yeah, that's right. I think I want to start with the second one. That's a great question. Actually, profit sharing is in fact different from these equity plans or stock options or other profit compensation schemes that we may have or that may be used. Profit sharing is mandatory. It's aside from that, and it's said by the Mexican Constitution, all shall participate in the company's or the employer's profit. That's a great question. And coming to the first one, I wanted to give this introduction or this backstory on the litigation strategy followed by this miners' union, because as it created a lot of uncertainty, we were all kind of guessing or we were supervising the how would this, the final results on this. And you had to try to follow how were the trials going around Mexico to see if eventually this could end up affecting other companies, not only those that were part of these litigation strategies. As such, it is important, and I think this podcast can actually provide some light on the matter, because the Supreme Court actually resolved the 2 weeks ago. The Supreme Court resolved a case, an amparo case that was filed before or was attracted by the Supreme Court, the second chamber. Through the sentence, the Supreme Court decided that even though the Constitution does not specifically or expressly set the possibility of setting a cap, it ended up resolving that considering the whole system, that Congress was in fact or is in fact entitled to regulate labor matters such as profit sharing, even if it's not expressly provided in the Constitution for this, as long as the Congress ends up following or complying with the general rules or basis provided by the Constitution. So that's one of the points that it based its decision on, and it confirmed the validity of the cap, because it also provided that even though we have the possibility or it in fact provides a cap, it is not absolute, because either you can apply the 3 month salary or you apply the average of profit sharing shared among the employees during the last 3 years, whichever is higher. So they considered that that was not an absolute cap, and as such, that it is consistent or is compatible with our regulation, with our constitutional principles. So this is great news for employers around Mexico, because it provides certainty on the validity of the cap, And as such, you could try to reduce or try to, you can be more certain about your financial expectations or how much are you going to end up paying in as profit sharing, especially in those businesses or industries that have, let's say, high capital instead of working capital.
Thank you, Samuel. This is actually very interesting. I think this is one of the most particular topics that I have shared or talked with another colleague in the region, because normally we have, as I told you, these incentives, but are not that mandatory. But this is really interesting. And I do have to thank you for this. And I know that many of the employers in Mexico and also foreign companies that want to establish in Mexico are taking notes about this.
Sure, I hope so. Actually, this is a very interesting topic. And I think also as a final recommendation, certainly we could try to talk about profit sharing and the specific regulation that it has, but it would take a while. So I don't think we would cover it throughout. It doesn't matter the length of the podcast. But I think it's important to be aware that this decision, even though it provides certainty, it also highlights the importance of how the employers carry out these calculations and following the formula by the book and considering everything that needs to be considered to determine the final amounts to be shared among the employees. Because this also has to be documented, or the final amounts need to be agreed in a joint committee with representatives of both the company or the employer and representatives of the employees. So these kind of decisions need to be very, very carefully analyzed to follow the guidelines provided by, in this case, by the second chamber, and try to follow all the applicable regulation, because you need to set the rules that led you to the final amounts. So I think nowadays, now more than ever, how are these minutes of the joint committee drafted, and to be very specific about how you reach the conclusions or the criteria that you followed to determine the final amounts are vital.
Samuel, since this is a mandatory benefit for employees in Mexico, when do employers have to pay?
That's a great question. Actually, employers are obliged to distribute this or to pay this profit sharing among the employees within 60 days of the moment in which they file their tax statement for income tax purposes. So, for example, in the case of companies had until the end of March of each year to file their tax statements. So this usually means that the limit to pay profit sharing is usually by the end of May. So May 31st is the official criteria by the Ministry of Labor. But it is important to consider this because that's the limit. So the process to pay profit sharing, it is indeed a process, and you have to incorporate the joint committee, and you have certain time frames or periods that need to elapse for the employees to be able to check the calculations or the amounts that we are going to pay to them. And they have 15 days to make any observations or objections. So there are specific stages during this process that need to be exhausted in order to be able to pay by the end of May. So I think this is a great time to have to kickstart this conversation and try to be prepared to be able to be in compliance with this and pay in time.
For sure, Samuel. And thank you again so much for this. And I think that we would need to appoint a part two of this in order just to be more familiar with the profit sharing in Mexico. For me, this is a new topic, and I think it's very important to share this information and the recent, resolution from the Supreme Court. I think this is really, really important. And thank you again, Samuel.
No, thank you for having me, Alexander.
Thank you. And well, for our listeners, if you would like to connect with Samuel Flores from Santa Marina Esteta in Mexico, or with any of our lawyers around the world, please search for them on the ELA website at ela.law, where you can sign up to receive invitations to our upcoming webinars, download documents and on-demand content from online library or access to the ELA's exclusive Global Employer Handbook. You have been listening to Employment Matters, a podcast brought to you by the Employment Law Alliance, the world's largest network of labor and employment lawyers from the best law firms around the globe. I am Alexandra Aguilar Garcia, and thank you for listening. Until next time, thank you.